Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
We've been talking about prophets, and we had Isaiah, and we had Elijah last week. And I want to talk to you about Ezekiel for a few minutes. He's got some unbelievable prophecy, some unbelievable vision. And man, he really had a vision of what God's heart was for us. In Ezekiel 37, I'm going to start there. It's one of the more fun stories in the Bible. They're going to throw it on the screens for us. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And he led me all around among the bones. They covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out." I love that he adds that. They were everywhere. They filled the valley and they were dry, dry. They weren't freshly dead. They'd been dead for a while. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." No, dog, the answer is no. There is a clear, these are dead. These are dry bones, not just sort of, these aren't dead people. They didn't just die yesterday or last week. They are dry bones scattered around a valley. But I love that Ezekiel's like, I don't want to say no, so I'm going to say only you know. Then he says, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you a living thing. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over their bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message and say to the wind, son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke a message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them again." This is the third prophecy that Ezekiel has in this vision. "This is what the sovereign Lord says, oh my people, I will open your graves of exile because you cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, oh my people, you will know that I am the Lord." Man, this is what a vision. There's three prophecies in this vision. I want to kind of break them down for a second for us. It starts with Ezekiel has a vision. He's walking through this valley, dead bones, dead bodies, dead everywhere. God asks, "Can these live?" He says, I'm going to go with no, but only you know, God. He says, "Prophesy to these bones." And then he goes, "And say," and then he tells Ezekiel what to say. "Prophesy and say this. What have you been saying lately? Prophesy." Because we know that death and life are in the power of our tongue. So what you've been saying has been coming to pass. The problem is many of us are self-fulfilling prophets, but we've been saying some bad stuff. God didn't just say, "Prophesy." He said, "Prophesy to the bones and say this." God is specific. He goes, "I want you to say this. Have you been saying what God's been saying? When it comes to your marriage, what have you been saying? When it comes to your kids, what have you been saying? When it comes to your health, what have you been saying? When it comes to your work, to your job, to your income, to your money, to your investments, when it comes to politics, when it comes to the church, when it comes to your life, what have you been saying? Because many of us today have been saying a lot of negative things, and then we complain that our life is full of negative things. Man, my kids never listen. Why would you say that? Man, my kid is disobedient. Why are you saying so many bad things about your kid? And then why are you confused when your kid is so bad? Man, my wife, man, my marriage, man, why are you doing that? Why are you saying such negative things? Why are you speaking that over people and then wondering why it comes to pass? Visualize this. If your words, when you said something, it became tangible, would you want it back? If you had to eat what you said, how much of your words would you want? Would it look repulsive? Would it look old? Would it look like when you speak over your wife, if that formed itself into a meal, would you want to consume it? Or like, oh no, that looks rotten. Then why say it? Why confess that? Why plant that seed into your marriage for that seed to grow? Many of us are living in the harvest of the seeds we've planted through our words and are resentful in our harvest. Does that make sense? So you spoke over your marriage that it doesn't have life, it doesn't have joy, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have that, it's so negative. And then you're resentful and frustrated when you're living in the harvest that you planted. We look around like, I can't believe I'm living in this marriage. Well, it's what you made. You look at your kids and go, they're not respectful, they don't listen, they don't obey. Well, it's what you created. It's what you spoke. You are a self-fulfilling prophet, and you spoke yourself into sickness. You spoke yourself into debt. You spoke yourself into loss. You spoke yourself into depression. You spoke yourself into anxiety. You started speaking all this stuff, and then you're frustrated that you received what you said. What is it that you're saying? God says, I want you to speak something prophetic and say this. What is it that God says about your marriage? What is it that God says about your kids? See, some of us need to start through faith speaking life, speaking hope, speaking discipline, speaking abundance, speaking prosperity, speaking we're going to overcome, we're going to rise above. I'm going to speak joy. I remember years ago, my dad went through hepatitis C, and the treatment for Hep C when he went through it was way different than it is today. It was intense. It was a year of chemo for him. And I remember every day he would come up, and it got so cheesy by the end of the year because you just start to run out. But he came up with dad jokes. He was like Googling them, you know, because he didn't have that many. They were so cheesy. But he was so committed to speaking joy when he felt like death. Y'all catching this? I will speak life when I feel bad. I will speak hope when I feel lost. I will speak positivity when I feel negative. See, I will speak what I want. And the more I say it, the more I'll have it. I'm just going to keep saying it and saying it. Because I will not plant seeds of depression. I won't plant seeds of loss. I ain't going to plant seeds of doubt. I'm not going to plant seeds of fear. I won't plant seeds. Like, too many of us are planting the wrong seeds and then resentful of the harvest you planted. What does God want you to say over your marriage? And have you been saying it? And here's the tension that we get. Yeah, but it ain't true. No, it's how you feel, but how you feel isn't true all the time. Your feelings and truth aren't the same thing. Now, I'm not trying to minimize your feelings, but don't live in this world that we've created today that your feelings are true. They're your feelings. I'm not trying to squash them or minimize them or act like they don't matter. But you have to remember that just because it's how you feel doesn't make it true. It is how you feel, and I respect that, and I honor that, and that matters. But it doesn't matter at a level of facts. You could feel however you want. It doesn't make it true. You could feel like a furry. You ain't a furry. Oh, here we go. I like this. You could feel like you're in the wrong body, but God didn't make a mistake. You're not. Am I preaching to anyone there? Sometimes when I'm preaching to y'all, I feel like God put me in the wrong skin. I don't feel like a white guy up here preaching. I feel like I should have been. I'm gonna get in trouble today. I might feel it. It don't change. You know what? I remember in school, I took some tests and I felt like I wrote all the right answers. And I would tell my teacher, no, I feel like that's correct. And like, I feel like you failed. Come on, somebody. I'm like, dang, man, I really felt like I aced that. See, feelings don't create facts. If Ezekiel looked at that bone and said, I feel like they know life, he would be correct. But it wasn't true. Because God said, well, if you say what I say, when I look at marriages and you start going to God and go, God, what should I say to my marriage? Speak life. Speak hope. Speak blessing. Speak an inheritance. Speak generational impact. Speak that you're going to break generational curses. What is it that you've been saying over your marriage? Because if you're saying what your dad said and his dad said and you've had divorce and divorce and divorce, you might still be rolling with the wrong feelings. And God's like, would you say what I've been telling you to say so that you can have what I want to give you? What have you been saying? What do you say over your children? World changers. Blessed. Healthy. Strong. They're going to overcome. They're going to stand on my shoulders. Or you've been saying, they don't listen. They're so bad. What have you been saying? What do you say to yourself? I'm sick. Got my headache. I got there, I guess this world's broken. Oh, AI, I'm gonna lose my job. What are you saying? So you don't think I'm gonna lose my job? I think, never mind, I'm not gonna go there. I think you should speak better, is what I think. I think you should find what God has to say. I think God has a blessing for you. I think he's got a future for you. I think he's got a plan and a purpose since your mother's womb. And I don't think AI is bigger than him. I don't think it's stronger than him. I don't think that the world or the culture or politics can limit what God already planned. And so if you get on his account and you start saying what he's been saying, nothing's going to stop a blessing on your life and favor on your life. Nothing can stop your marriage. Nothing can stop your kids. Nothing can knock. If you say what he says, and speak with, and then catch this. Did you catch that God said it and the bones didn't respond? Oh, I wish I wasn't white because I want to preach this. God said, prophesy and say this. And he said it and nothing happened. And then the prophet said it and there was a rumbling. Bro, them bones didn't reply to God, but they replied to Ezekiel. God needs to put his will in your mouth. He needs a vessel. He needs someone to use. See, God has, you've been saying this whole time, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. No, it won't. No, it won't. It didn't happen when he said it. It happened when Ezekiel said it. Them bones didn't move when God said it. But when Ezekiel said what God said to say, when God's words found their way into Ezekiel's mouth, them bones said, oh, I got to start moving. There's a rattling in this bed. Why? Why did they move when it's here? Because when you say what God told you to say, something changes. It's not, well, God wants it to happen, and if he wants it, then no. Yo, if everything that God wanted was just going to happen, what he tied himself to you. God needs a vessel. God needs a son and a daughter and says, here I am, use me. Speak through me, flow through me. I'll speak to these bones. I got faith that what you said for me to say will come to pass. I got faith that this cancer is gonna, that will not end in death. I got faith that this marriage won't end in divorce. I got faith that you're gonna bless me through all of this. I got faith I'm gonna overcome. When you put God's words in your mouth, God said it. Y'all, church, hear this. Them bones didn't move until Ezekiel said it. What have you been saying? What have you been confessing? What is the self-fulfilling prophecy of your life? God can't use me, I'm a failure. That doesn't sound like, I don't want that fruit. How come so many of us get so comfortable saying so much that we don't want? Oh, I got a headache. Oh, I think it's cancer. Oh, I think it's this. Oh, I think, oh, I'm not gonna survive. Oh, I'm gonna lose my job. Why are you talking? Why? Shut up. Shush. That's not very nice, Pastor. Well, your life sucks, and I'm trying to help. Yo, people be coming to me for marriage counseling, which I crush marriage counseling. I'm like a level 10 on compassion if the scale was to 100. And so, you know what I'm talking about? Look, 10 sounds great until you realize it goes all the way to 100. And you're like, oh, he's pretty low, actually. Half of the problems that we're trying to solve is just the person should have just stopped talking. Just. Yeah, but you take it down. Yeah, you would be so much happier. And here's the problem. It felt so good for like 13 seconds. Like, well, I let her know. And now you living in the I let her know season. How is that treating you? It doesn't produce life. It doesn't produce change. It doesn't produce joy. Yeah, you got it off your chest. And yeah, you're talking from a feeling that in the moment looks true, but it's not true. It's your feelings. The truth is that's a daughter of God. The truth is that in your marriage, it's going to perfect you to look like the image of Jesus. The truth is that it's filing off things in you to make you look like Christ, to purify you. The truth is that she's seeing things in you that you didn't want anyone to notice of your selfishness and self-centeredness, and it's pulling some junk out of your life. And that marriage is perfecting you to the image. And so you feel attacked and you feel misunderstood. Yeah. Don't talk in that moment. Because we be saying mean stuff. And then that seed gets planted in our marriage and then grows. And we're like, why am I living in this animosity? Because you planted it. What are you saying? He looked at Ezekiel and he goes, I need you to speak something prophetic and say this. What has God told you to say? Because when you say it, things change. Oh, well, if God wants something to happen, he'll do it. No, he's waiting for you to speak his words. Speak life. Speak healing. Speak hope. Speak overcoming. Speak prosperity. If God wanted to bless me, no, he needs something in your mouth. Speak abundance into your home. Speak blessing into your home. Some of y'all need to start talking to them stocks. Like, God, this is the stock you told me. I'm investing. I'm a life in this stock. Fruit in this stock. You go, that's kind of silly. Okay, well then it's silly to you, but to some of y'all, this is faith. Speak to your marriage. Catch this. This revelation, so Ezekiel unpacks this, and I think we miss it a lot. There's three revelations in this one story, and we kind of put it together in the dry bones, but there's three moments that Ezekiel is walked through. The first moment, God goes, I need you to speak to them as a flesh. Bring the skeleton together, bring the muscle together, bring the skin together. And then he goes, I need you to speak breath into them. So there were form, but there wasn't life. There was a body, but there wasn't a spirit. Now speak to the wind and let the breath of God, the spirit of God, fill their lungs. And it doesn't stop there. And then his third prophecy is speak to Israel that they have a home, that they have a place, that they belong somewhere. That level of progression starts in Genesis. Ezekiel sees it, and then Jesus fulfills it. In Genesis, God makes man. What does he do? He forms man out of the dust of the earth, right? So he forms man. He brings man together, but that's not it. Then he breathes the breath of God into the lungs of man, right? We've read Genesis. Y'all read Genesis like 100 times. Every year you start in Genesis, you get through Exodus, you stop at Leviticus. Y'all read Genesis a lot. You're like, yeah, I got Genesis. I got that chapter 2. We've read a few times. Forms, breathes, but he doesn't stop there. He places. Where does he place? In the garden. So it's a three-step process. Man was formed, man took in life, but that's not where God stopped. Man puts him in a place. Ezekiel sees the same progression in the valley. He sees bones come together. He sees breath enter their lungs. And then God goes, I need you to speak a third prophetic message where they will have a home, a place. Fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus shows up, and over and over and over, he says, and then Paul reiterates in his letters to all the churches, that before we were in Christ, we were dead. How does that make sense? Because I could have, men at that time were married, had kids. How am I married and having kids and I'm dead? That's because you don't have the understanding that until the breath of God fills you and the Spirit of God dwells with you, according to him, you are dead. But all of a sudden, life comes into your body. The Spirit of God fills you. And many of us have gotten to that point, but we've stopped. Many of us haven't. Or many of us think, yeah, the breath of God is for Sunday mornings and sometimes when I listen to worship music. But you haven't gotten to the revelation, and I want to keep unpacking this because that's really what Ezekiel, the whole book of Ezekiel is the presence of God, the Spirit of God dwells inside of his people. So you have form, bodies, you have breath, life, but it doesn't stop there. You have place. And Jesus came, and what did he teach the most about? The kingdom of God. Y'all, have y'all read the gospel? Y'all have read the Bible, right? Many of you, you go Genesis, Exodus, and then Matthew, Mark, and you realize it's the same story, and you stop in Luke. Matthew, Mark, oh, is this the same story again? Y'all feel awkward. You're like, he knows. How does he know? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over and over, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom. It's that Jesus was consumed preaching about, why? Because he knew that it wasn't just enough to be formed, and it wasn't just enough to have a spirit. You also had to dwell inside the kingdom. The good news is I got a home, I got a place for you. The place for you is in my kingdom. And many of us have never gotten to that third level of revelation that we have somewhere to belong. And here's what's so bad about that. If you don't know where you belong, science has proven this, you live in this state of fight or flight. If you don't have peace, that I have safety, if you don't feel, and many of us have homes and jobs, but still for some reason we have anxiety, we have angst, we have a nervousness. And it's like, I just don't know, I can't find my peace. And that's because you don't know where you belong. And you're still urgently seeking belonging. And until you have belonging, you can't have safety. And until you have safety, you'll live in this perpetual state of fight or flight. In your marriage, you've been trying to work through your problems, but your body chemistry is fight or flight because you don't feel safe. You don't have your home. You don't know where you belong. And you can't work through problems if the only two solutions you see are I will fight you or I will run from you. Have I gone too deep? Did I lose you guys? If you don't have peace, if you don't have belonging, if you don't say, this is who I am, this is the life that God gave me, and I'm living at home with him. If you don't have that security and that belonging, then you're going to always live in this state of proving yourself, proving your worth, proving your value, defending yourselves, and always be in fight or flight. You'll fight with the employee. You'll fight with your boss. You'll fight with your kids. You'll fight with your spouse. Or you'll always be in fear that they're going to abandon you, and you'll try to run first, and you run from a marriage, and you run from a marriage, and you run from a relationship, and you run from, you just keep running. Why? Because you'll never put your place in vulnerability because you still are unsure where you belong. Jesus said, I gave you form, I gave you life, and I gave you a home. This is my, why do you think Jesus was like kingdom, 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 kingdom? Because he wanted you to realize that you are called to his kingdom. He's the king, and this is where he reigns so that you can live in peace. And once you realize that I am at peace in Jesus, I'm at home in his kingdom. Now I can engage with people from a sense of confidence that I don't have to prove myself or my self-worth or my value. Now I can engage with my marriage not from a fight or a flight mentality. How many of y'all in your marriages are either wanting to fight about stuff or bail? We all struggle with this. We all struggle with this. And that's why Jesus is like, it's the third level. I need you to belong. I have a place for you. And once you're at your home and it's like, oh, this is, I belong here. Then you could turn that system off to now I'm no longer in defense mode because I'm not trying to prove myself, prove my value, prove my worth. I'm not trying to bail before you bail on me. Now I get to approach you from the kingdom that God put me in, from security. Ezekiel sees this. His three prophecies speak to the bodies, speak to the breath, speak to the home. Have you got all three in your life? I can see you got a body. Do you have the breath of God, the life of God? And do you know that that very breath of God wants to go with you everywhere you go? Or do you think that's only for Sundays? Do you think that's only for when you pray? Do you think the presence of God is only for when you're in need? Do you think the presence of God is only for when you listen to worship music driving to work? And are you still struggling to find where you belong? Jesus says, no, come to my kingdom. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Follow me. Be with me. You belong with me. From Genesis to the new covenant to when Jesus shows up, there is three levels of identity. And many of us are living honestly in the first version. We got a body and every once in a while we dabble in the spirit. But never have we gotten fully comfortable realizing. What did Jesus say? I will build my church. How many of us approach God with our independent? I do a relationship with God my way. Independent. I left church, it hurt me, it wounded me, which is so funny to me that we do this for church nowadays. I got church hurt. You know, I had a bad meal one day and I still went back for seconds the next day. Anyone had a bad meal and you go, you know what? Food's not for me anymore. It hurt me. No. Church is gonna hurt you. Why? Because you're here. People are here. But God is building his church, his people, his kingdom. The gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus is coming for his bride. We're his bride. We're coming. He's coming for us, not individuals, but us. Why? Because he's building a kingdom that we belong to, a home for us to be in. Here, let's keep going in Ezekiel. Let me see how far I could get. You might need to go into the church app and read the notes because I'm not going to get to most of this. Ezekiel 36. Oh my goodness. Here, Ben, why don't you come onto the stage? Let me give you this last thought or two. Ezekiel 36, 22 through 28. It says, therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. Y'all need to underline that in your Bibles. Highlight this in your app. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I'm doing it to protect my holy name. What is a name? It's an identity. A name is an identity. God is saying in this moment, it's not because you've deserved it. It's not because you've earned it. It's because it's who I am. I'm going to bring you back not because you deserve it, but because it's who I am. On which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you, hold up, when I reveal my holiness through you, how is holiness going to show when they haven't earned it yet? They didn't deserve this. They didn't work for this. They don't have a degree in theology. They didn't fast. They didn't pray. Like, wait, holiness is going to come through a people that didn't deserve it, says the sovereign Lord. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, for I will gather you up from all the nations to bring you home again to your land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols, and I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Hold up. This vision from Ezekiel, and I wish I could teach more of these visions and revelations that Ezekiel had over and over and over. This is the heart of his revelations. He goes, I see a people that God wants to dwell with, but not because they're worthy, not because they're deserving, not because they're so good, not because they're so holy, not because of their sacrifices, not because of their laws, not because of their works, not because of their study, not because of their prayer. God wants to be with you because it's who he is, not because it's what you've earned. Yeah, we need to get this today, church. You can't earn the presence of God. You can't earn the Spirit of God. You're never going to deserve his love. You're never going to deserve his glory. You're never going to deserve his healing. You're never going to deserve his blessing. You're never going to deserve his presence in your life. But he wants to do it anyway. Why? Because it's who he is. Because it's his heart for you, not your earning it from him. Over and over and over. If you boil this book down of Ezekiel, over he has vision after vision of God saying, I will bring my spirit to my people. Now you got to catch this revelation, because Ezekiel is prophesying these visions at a time when there was a temple with the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. And the only time you sensed the presence of God was when one man walked into that Holy of Holies one time a year. Holy of Holies, one man, one time a year, man walks in, experiences the presence of God, comes back out on behalf of all the people. And God is going, that's not what I want. What I want is for my people to have my spirit in them. God wants to be with you. And he's been desiring that since the old covenant. He's been wanting to be with you. He doesn't want to be locked onto a stage. He doesn't want to be locked into just a few preachers. He doesn't want to be locked onto a worship album. He doesn't want to be limited to the worship team. He wants to be with you. Over and over and over. There's so many more prophecies. There's a prophecy of Ezekiel was taken into this heavenly realm and saw the temple. And in the temple, he saw this river flowing out of it. He went to the door because the angel, the messenger of God leads him to the door, and the water started flowing out of the temple. And then he was walking along and it was ankle deep, and he kept walking and the river became knee deep, and he kept walking and it became waist deep, and he kept walking and it became shoulder deep. And then he kept walking until he could no longer walk and had to swim in the river. And God goes, yeah, that's a vision of my presence pouring out of the temple. It's no longer locked up. It's no longer limited to the priests. It's no longer limited to those that have earned it or deserved it or worthy or called or set apart. No, I want my people to experience my presence. Jesus shows up and goes, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. What did he say? Out of the preachers will flow rivers of living water? Did he say out of the called will flow? No, did he say out of the worthy, out of the good, out of the educated, out of a microphone, off a stage? No, it says out of your bellies, out of you. This American Christian modern message that has limited the presence of God to an experience. We've limited the presence of God to preachers. We've limited the presence of God to evangelists. We've limited it to a worship leader. But the presence of God since Ezekiel's prophecies have been to be with you. And we've so limited it that we now think the presence of God is a worship song and a preaching moment. But you know what the presence of God is? It's when you're laughing with your children. You know what the presence of God is? It's when you're doing what you love. Some of you love to build stuff. That's God. Some of you love music. That's God. Some of you stay-at-home moms. I heard a mom the other day tell me, I just wish I had a better calling. I said, are you kidding me? There is no calling higher than to raise an eternal being. There is no calling higher than to love those kids. God has partnered with you to love those kids with you. When you get them ready in the morning, that's God loving them through you. When you disciple them, that's God discipling them through you. When you laugh with them, that's God laughing. That's His joy coming through you. Those children will exist for eternity. This will not. This will fade away. You think that you laughing with your friends on the golf course is any less holy than Tasha singing here? You think you wrestling with your son is any less spiritual than fasting? No. God wants to be with you. God wants to flow through you. God wants to connect with you. God wants to do life with you. Do you know that the first person in the Bible that ever is quoted as having the presence of God on their life is a builder? Not a priest, not a prophet, not a king, a builder. Someone that was physically building. A carpenter. First person that the presence of God ever sat on. Why? Because God wanted you to know that what you love doing, He loves doing too. There is no divide between the Christian and secular. There is no such thing as Christian music. Music is from God. If I took the God part out of music, you wouldn't be left with melody or notes, or you would be left with nothing. Good luck. If I took God out of life, you wouldn't have any humor or joy. You wouldn't have. See, so much of our life is the fruit of God, and we don't connect with Him, and He's the source of it. When you write poetry, that's God. When you take your wife on a date, He's there. When you wrestle with your son, that's Him loving your son. When you do life, that's God doing life with you. There is no divide. And since Ezekiel, prophecy after prophecy, there's another prophecy of Ezekiel seeing the presence of God come back 20 years after it departed from Israel. And when it departed, he saw it leave the temple. And when it came back 20 years later, he prophesies, I see the presence of God return, but it's returning to the people of Israel. Why? Because God wanted us to know He was no longer to be held in a temple. He wanted to be with you. He wants to be with you. And what can we get from Ezekiel? It's that over and over and over, he had prophecies and visions that God wants to be with His people. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and live. He wants to be all up in you. And the rivers of living water flowing out of your belly is the presence of God in your life.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.